online and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening. This is the 5 o'clock news on Highland Radio. I'm Donna Marie Doherty. Coming up in this bulletin, Roderick O'Gorman is the new leader of the Green Party. Councillor Martin McDermott has been re-elected as chair of Donegal County Council's Effective Concrete Black Scheme Committee. The 100% Redress Party's Colm Thomas-Sean Devine will take on the deputy role. Residents on Gola Island have been without water for over a month, and Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald says her meeting with the new British Prime Minister was very constructive. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Oisin Kelly will have all the latest in sport. That's coming up in around 15 minutes' time. First in news, Eamon Ryan and Catherine Martin will remain as cabinet ministers under the new Green Party leader. Roderick O'Gorman saw off a challenge from Senator Pippa Hackett with the win in the leadership by 72 votes today. He said the party will need to broaden its appeal to avoid losing seats in the next general election. But Roderick O'Gorman says he won't be shaking up his ministerial team.
No, we have really good colleagues in the Cabinet and in the Minister for State roles. We have maybe 6-7 months of this government left. I don't propose to make any changes now. We have ministers who know their portfolio, who are delivering really well, and I wanted them to continue to do so until the end of this government. We'll be making it very clear to the public that when you vote Green, you're voting for a party that is focused on both meeting our long-term climate goals, looking to 2050, but also very focused on supporting people in their day-to-day lives. And that's something that I'm hugely conscious of. That's something I've worked to do in my department over the last 4 years, whether it's halving the cost of childcare, benefiting tens of thousands of families over the country, extending paid leave for parents.
Councillor Martin McDermott has been re-elected as chair of Donegal County Council's Defective Concrete Block Grant Scheme Committee. He was put forward by Councillor Jerry McMonagall and seconded by Councillor Ali Farron. It was anticipated that one of the four 100% Redress Party councillors would take the chair, but Councillor McMonagall says while it was his party's intention to nominate a 100% Redress Party councillor, it was their view that they would prefer to gain experience over the coming year before comprising the role. Returning to the role of chair for the sixth term in a row, Councillor McDermott says the completion of the IS 465 review is a priority.
Look, I think it's important that we're in here to do the best for the people, to try and make the scheme work as best we can for the people. We have a new committee, we have a new council, we have members now of the 100% Redress, four of them on this committee, along with all the other committee members, the 16 now in total. And I think it's important that we all work together for the betterment of the people and try and make the scheme work for the people and try and get the changes at department level, ministerial level, that the scheme needs. There are changes that it needs. We went through a lot of that today. But I do think that, you know, over the next couple of months in particular, we have to fight to make sure that IS 465 is updated urgently, because as you can see today, that's one of the main issues that we have in relation to the scheme at the minute. And most of all, make sure that the minister now increases the cap by 10%. Minister McConlogue met with the minister and his in a delegation a week ago, and the minister has committed to come up to the county very, very shortly to meet us. We will meet him as the Defective Concrete Block Committee, and it will give us an opportunity to have the conversations with him and let the minister see firsthand, first of all, the houses, and also let him hear firsthand from us the issues that we deal with every day of the week and the issues with the scheme at the minute that we would like to see changed to make it easier for homeowners.
Meanwhile, Councillor Thomas-Sean Devine of the 100% Redress Party has been elected Vice-Chair of the committee. He was nominated by party colleague Councillor Joy Beard and seconded by independent Councillor Declan Meehan. Councillor Devine says he's looking forward to taking up the position.
I'm happy now that I was on as Vice-Chair now and Martin's on as Chair. He's more experienced than I have. As I say, we're new to this. And so we'll work closely together, me and myself and Martin and everybody else on there. We have to get things done.
And what did you make of that meeting? Was it what you expected it to be?
I think we could have maybe talked a wee bit more, been more active on things that we want to get done. But as they pointed out, it was an AGM today. We weren't going to get all the accents that we want to move forward. Like, you know, because there's a lot of people living in very, very bad homes as we speak here now. And all the sun's shining outside today, but I say some of the houses I've been in, the water running down the walls, they're black inside. Hey, action needs to be taken rapidly, fast now.
And a restructuring of the committee means that a chair and vice chair will now be chosen annually. Residents on Gola Island are without water for over a month. Councillor Micheál Colm McGilla Asbuck says it's beyond a joke that islanders are repeatedly left without water. He's hit out at the slow response from Uisce Éireann to repairing the burst. Councillor McGilla Asbuck says a long-term solution is needed.
Unfortunately, we have another water burst leading out to Elangola. And this is totally unacceptable. It's beyond a joke that every turn around that the people of the island are left without running water 24/7. We in the mainland wouldn't accept that, and I can't see why the islanders would accept it either, and they're not accepting it. This burst has been in place for over a month now, and the slow response by Uisce Éireann is unacceptable. I'd like to take the opportunity to recognise the hard work of the local staff, but there has to be a long-term solution found, and one of them solutions that I suggested at a meeting with water staff of Corlicombe Gunningall last week was that we would look to get funding from the government to drill underneath the seabed, as is in other islands. So why would Gola be any different? We're working to look for a similar solution to that there to Inishvikadorin or Inishfria. So Gola must be seen as important as anywhere else, as all the islands should be. And being left without water for such a long time is just totally and utterly unacceptable.
And has Uisce Éireann given any indication that they will take these concerns on board and action some resolution?
Well, the biggest difficulty that I find with Uisce Éireann is when you request meetings with Uisce Éireann to meet maybe the islanders, or if that's the case of maybe Glashahu and Maharorthy or Minuera, they just refuse to meet point blank.
Well, in responding to Highland Radio when asked about the issue, Uisce Éireann said repair works were carried out on the undersea pipeline, which supplies drinking water from the mainland to Gola Island after it was damaged in storms over the most recent Christmas period. They have not received any complaints in relation to further issues with the water supply since then. As the pipeline is undersea, divers and chartered boats are required to locate any possible faults, which may cause investigations to be unavoidably delayed. They thank the public for their patience at this time. The new British Prime Minister says he intends to return to Northern Ireland many times. Keir Starmer visited Belfast today for the first time since winning a landslide victory in last week's UK general election. He met with politician leaders at Stormont and faced questions about Casement Park, funding for public services and the potential of a future border poll. He was also asked if he'll be a stranger after today's flying visit.
I do hope, sincerely hope, that by being here on day three of the new Labour government, that makes clear my commitment, doubles down on my commitment, of just how important Northern Ireland is to me and to my government. And I shall be back many times, working collaboratively to ensure that whatever the challenges are, and of course there are going to be challenges, that we address them in a different and a better way.
Well, the Labour Party's manifesto pledged to repeal the controversial Trouble Legacy Act. This is something Labour councillor Troy Gallagher, who's a native of Letterkenny, will be key to improving relations with Ireland.
As Keir said over the weekend, all the political parties in Northern Ireland oppose the Legacy Bill. The people oppose the Legacy Bill. The Irish government obviously had to take the UK government to court. So there's going to be... Keir had made it very clear he wished to repeal that, and that's going to be enacted. And now also that will help itself not just find a way forward. Okay, if we say the Legacy Commission has been established, the actual body, Hilary Grant's going to review the governance to hold that to account, see what that is, future of that's going to be. But the actual repeal of the Legacy Bill is key towards improving relations in Northern Ireland and also with the Irish government. I think the fact that Keir Starmer is equally keen to reset ties with the EU. And that word reset is important because he used it many times over the weekend about Northern Ireland, about the Irish government relations and about the EU. And with that, rebuilding up relationships, Keir's going to be very keen to ensure that the February agreement is passed with the EU to improve trade on livestock and reduce border checks. So it'll need Ireland as an ally on that. And, of course, we're very keen to do so. But that'll be one of the benefits of being able to work and sort out the issues, the interstate issues of the legacy agreement.
Police in Derry say they're investigating a sectarian hate crime after paint was thrown at the city's walls. The incident was reported to the PSNI at about 11:30 this morning. They say criminal damage was caused to Walker's plinth, and anyone with information or footage that may assist the investigation is asked to come forward. The decision to ban motorbikes parking on the newly renovated Diamond area of Donegal town has been met with backlash. The council issued a statement in recent days reminding people that the area is a pedestrian space and appealed to car, van, motorbike and mechanically propelled vehicles to use nearby car parks. The council's been urged to rethink their decision, however. Councillor Jimmy Brogan says there's never been an issue with bikers before.
I think it's a bit silly, really. You know, the bikes have been there for years, as people have said. They don't really do any harm, or don't do any harm at all. You know, they always, you know, I've often been on the Diamond on a Sunday when I've seen plenty of bikes there. And they're always very courteous. They leave no mess behind them. There's never any trouble, apart from maybe a few, you know, tire marks on the footpath or something. I don't see any reason why they shouldn't be there, you know. And as well as that too, there's nowhere else for bikes to park. I was just chatting to a biker yesterday, actually, on this point. He told me there was six designated biker parking spots in the whole of the town, like, you know, and they're down at the pier. So, like, there's nowhere else for the bikes to go, you know. And as other people have said, you know, there's it creates a bit of revenue around the town. Mm-hmm. You know, if you get, there's often 40 or 50 bikes parked there, or maybe more sometimes, you know. And if you get 40 or 50 people milling around the town, they're going to be buying coffees and teas and ice cream. And I just don't see the point in moving them.
The time's now coming up to 12 minutes past 5. Oisin Kelly will be back with sport after this short break.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Now stocking the Donegal GAA Western Range at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15. Oisin Kelly has all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Donna Marie. We're going to start with Gaelic Games. Mickey Hart has stepped down as manager of the Derry Senior Footballers. The Tyrone native was nearing the end of the first year of a three-year term. Hart led Derry to the Allianz Football League title back in March and earlier the Dr. McKenna Cup. However, Derry were beaten by Donegal, Galway and Armagh during the course of the championship before a quarter-final loss to Kerry. It had been speculated that Hart may not stay with the Oakleaf County, and that was confirmed today as he steps away from the post. Derry GAA have confirmed that the process to now find a replacement management team will begin. And I'm sure that will be a hot topic on tonight's DL debate here in Highland, which will be live from across the road at Highland Motors in Letterkenny. The show will, of course, preview the All-Ireland semi-finals this coming weekend, where our feature game on Sunday is the Donegal-Galway tie. Brendan Devaney will be joined by Donegal and Galway legends John Gilday and Jay Fallon, while Niall Loughran of the Irish News and Páraic Hulferty will also be on the programme as well to look forward to those semi-finals. But I'm sure the Mickey Hart decision today to step away from Derry will be very much to the fore on the programme as well. Pádraig Mógán has added the June PWC GA GPA Footballer Player of the Month award to the one that he already won in May. The Donegal man continued his fine form with another man of the match performance at Croke Park, where he scored 5 points in the quarter-final win over Louth, helping Donegal back to the All-Ireland semi-final for the first time in 10 years. Mogan's seen it off the challenge of Armagh's Conor Turbitt and Galway's Dylan McHugh to land back-to-back player awards. Now, the last three honours have gone to Donegal players, with Ryan McHugh the winner back in April. To football, FAI interim CEO David Correll says they want to introduce regulation to prevent relationships between coaches and players in the domestic women's game. He apologised to the women who shared their experiences of unwanted sexual advances and bullying during the 1990s in a joint Sunday Independent and RTE investigation. The coaches named in the investigation have denied the allegations levelled against them. Relationships between FAI staff, coaches and players are prohibited, and Correll wants to extend that to the Women's National League.
We have been very clear for some time about best practice in this space. In time, we are looking at introducing it as a hard and fast rule through our club licensing structures. But as for now, we have been able to communicate very clearly to all clubs that best practice is no relationship should exist between player and coach. With that said, it's up to clubs to interpret that on a local basis.
In rugby, Dan Sheehan looks set to miss a sizeable chunk of the forthcoming season. The Hookers suffered a suspected torn ACL during Saturday's first test defeat to the Springboks in Pretoria. Sheehan has returned home for treatment. Scrum half Craig Casey will miss the weekend's second test, having sustained a concussion in the first test. Finally, to tennis, men's fourth seed Alexander Zverev is a set away from his first ever Wimbledon quarterfinal. The German leads Taylor Fritz by 2 sets to love. And Lorenzo Musetti awaits the winner in the last eight. The ninth seed, Alexander de Minaur, beat Arthur Fiess in 4 sets. And the Aussie will face the winner of tonight's clash, Novak Djokovic and Holger Rune. Women's fourth seed, Elena Raducanu, is into the quarterfinals after her last 16 opponent, Anna Kaslenkaya, retired hurt in the second set. Next up for the 2020 champion is a quarterfinal date with Alina Shifolina, the Ukrainian. He's passed Zhang Yang 6-2, 6-1. There you go. That's your sport for today, Donna Marie. We'll be back with more tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Aisin. Donegal County Council is seeking to expand its emergency accommodation provision. The council has issued a call to property owners to come forward if they have a property or room suitable. They're also seeking expressions of interest from property owners who are interested in selling for social housing purposes. Eamon Torsney has more.
The council is appealing to proprietors of apartments, houses, hostels and guest house accommodation who wish to have their facilities or rooms included on the council's list of retained emergency accommodation for families and individuals requiring emergency and short to medium term accommodation to come forward. Family and single rooms may be required to meet emergency accommodation needs as they arise. Meanwhile, the council is also inviting expressions of interest from the owners of property which may be suitable for social housing purposes and they are interested in selling. Properties can be in towns and villages and can include existing houses or apartments, commercial units, derelict buildings and sites and parcels of land, greenfield and brownfield sites. Ideally, the council says properties should be close to sustainable communities and within walking distance of amenities and services, and any land being offered should be suitably zoned. More information is available on donegalco.ie.
A Donegal deputy has pressed the government on a commitment that support for his legislation to reduce insurance costs for consumers will be forthcoming. Deputy Pierce Doherty brought legislation before the Dáil in 2021 that, if enacted, would ensure insurance companies pass on any savings they make to their customers as a result of the new personal injuries guidelines. The bill is currently at committee stage. In the Dáil in recent days, Minister of State Neil Richmond argued that insurance costs have indeed decreased. Deputy Doherty moved to clarify that insurance premiums have only seen a reduction in the motor industry.
The CSO is suggesting that insurance prices have increased every month for the last 10 months. What we're hearing on the ground is that that's the case. I've carried out a survey. There's about 700-800 people responding, 90% of them saying their insurance prices have gone up. This is about holding the insurance companies account. They have to live by a version of this law if they operate in the north, if they operate in Britain. The same major insurance companies here do operate in those jurisdictions. Why do we not hold them to account?
Oh, I absolutely agree with you, Deputy Doherty, that we need to hold them to account, that we need to see a downward pressure of prices. You've cited CSO figures, so my retort will be the CSO figures, when you compare this to 2016, they've gone down exactly 39.6% in motor insurance alone. And we have the NCI data, which is the most robust form that has shown a consistent decrease in price of insurance since 2019. We accept their reasons in terms of inflation, in terms of costs, in terms of footfall. But crucially, what we can acknowledge is in the round, insurance costs have gone down drastically compared to a number of years ago. The data shows that. We want it to go down further. But crucially, the level of availability, Cathaoirleach, has spread out so much more. And that's not using anecdotal evidence. That is clear in the market. There's an awful lot more to do, Deputy. An awful lot more to do. And I very much do want to work with you on this. And I look forward to see your survey that you say is concluded. Let's sit down and talk about that next week and see what we can do.
Okay.
It is not going down in public liability. What we're talking
well,
about
we're
here...
we're just starting to see that the returns there now, that it's going it's, the right
you
way.
Said it's drastically gone down. It is an insult to the company.
39% is drastic if you're using CSO figures yourself.
We're moving now yes, to so number you,
Minister,
seven.
It's misleading. Completely and utterly misleading.
Waiting a long time.
Aer Lingus and the Irish Airlines Pilot Association are considering a recommendation by the Labour Court aimed at resolving their pay row. The recommendation is non-binding and would require an agreement by both parties. Andrew Louth reports from the IALPA headquarters.
This deal represents a 17.75% pay increase for pilots from January 2023 to the end of 2026. Aer Lingus says it is carefully considering the review after the recommendation was issued by the Labour Court this lunchtime. Pilots had been looking for a 24% pay increase, which they said was down to inflation, while Aer Lingus said that it was looking for extra productivity and flexibility for any pay increase above 12.25%.
A High Court judge says nothing is being done about the crisis in our care system. The Child Law Project's latest report highlights the despair within the justice system at the lack of special care beds for the most vulnerable children in society. In one case, a boy with the exceptional risk category was found with shop vouchers and expensive clothing, raising concerns he was being exploited. However, no action had been taken by TUSLA to get him a bed. CEO of the Children's Rights Alliance, Tanya Ward, says it's hard for these services to act without financial support.
Child protection and welfare services themselves, they do need an increase in funding and support to help them work with these children. I mean, it is a small group of children with the very complex needs, the 70 to 80. But if they don't get these kinds of supports, you know, I'd be deeply concerned. These supports are life-saving. And I think Budget 2025 really has to prioritise.
Having a look now to weather, it will be some showers developing throughout the evening. Highest temperatures of 16 to 18 degrees and a light breeze, and that will be mostly dry with clear spells throughout tonight. Lowest temperatures of 8 to 10 degrees and a light to moderate northeasterly wind. To conclude this evening's news, Roderick O'Gorman is the new leader of the Green Party. The Integration Minister won a contest with Senator Pippa Hackett on a margin of 52% to 48%. Councillor Martin McDermott has been re-elected as the chair of Donegal County Council's Defective Concrete Block Grant Scheme Committee. 100% redress Councillor Thomas Sean Devine will take on the deputy role. Residents on Gola Island are without water for over a month. Councillor Micheál Colin McGillagh-Asbuck says it's beyond a joke that islanders are repeatedly left without water. However, Ishka Aaron says they hadn't received a complaint since works were complete after damage caused by adverse weather around Christmas time. And finally, Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald says her meeting with the new British Prime Minister was very constructive and he was friendly. Keir Starmer visited Stormont this morning. That's all for now. We'll be back with more headlines at 6 o'clock.
The obituary notices for this Monday evening, July 8th. The death has taken place of Margaret Doherty, Ní Sherky, Mina Bull, Dunluí. Margaret's remains are reposing at Rorty's Funeral Home, Derrybeg, this evening until 8 p.m. and tomorrow from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Rosary nightly at 8 p.m. Funeral Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. in the Church of the Sacred Heart, Dunluí. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty, Funeral Director's Facebook page. The death has taken place of Shane Neary, Gortna Corrib, Letterkenny, reposing at his home. House strictly private. Requiem Mass tomorrow afternoon at 1 p.m. in St. Union's Cathedral, Letterkenny. Burial afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Mass can be viewed on Church Services TV. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to the Oncology Day Ward, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Sheila McLaughlin, Ní Crawford, 12, Letterkenny Road, Lifford, reposing at her home. Funeral leaving her home tomorrow morning at 10:20 a.m. for Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Murlough, Lifford, at 11 a.m. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has occurred of Pat Craig, 6 Dr. McCluskey Crescent and formerly of Stranaglough, Glenties. Pat's remains are reposing at the family home at Stranaglough, Glenties until 10 p.m. tonight. Rosary tonight at 9 p.m. funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. in St Connell's Church Glenties, with interment afterwards in the local cemetery. Family time before the funeral tomorrow. Funeral mass can be viewed live on Church Services TV. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of James McGuinness, funeral directors or any family member. The death has occurred of PJ Maguire, Mean Luffer, Castlefin, reposing at the family home. Funeral from the family home tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m. in St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killygordon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The Mass can be viewed via the parish webcam. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.